Hello and welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor here at Fraser Church. This week we have a special guest joining us for our devotions. Dr. Matthew Sleaf left his work as a physician to teach and write about faith and health. He's written several books including Reforcing Faith and Hope Always. Please enjoy today's devotional from Dr. Sleaf.
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God devoted a considerable amount of biblical real estate to trees. Let's look at the third day of creation to see where all this starts. God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, an herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Botanists who read these lines from Genesis will pick up on the two broad categories of plants. The first are gymnosperms. As applied to trees, gymnosperms represent conifers or softwoods, such as pines, yews, cedars, and redwoods. These trees make seeds, but the seeds are not contained within fruit. The second category, angiosperms, from the Greek angion, which means container, bear fruit that contain the plant seeds. This class of tree is represented by hardwoods or deciduous trees, such as peaches, pears, oaks, and ash. Throughout the Bible, just as in biology classes today, the categorization of trees into fruit-bearing and non-fruit-bearing is maintained. This distinction is upheld throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Let's begin by exploring some of the tree-related references we highlighted in the first two chapters of Genesis. First, God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the last scripture is, And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now let's look at the attributes God assigned to the trees in the verses I just read. First, trees in chlorophyll provide all the energy for the animals. Second, God planted a garden filled with trees as a place in which humans could live. Third, trees are pleasant to the sight. Fourth, the tree of life is a symbol of human access to God. Next, humanity's first job was to dress or take care of and keep or preserve the trees. And lastly, humanity is given moral agency through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Within the first two pages of the Bible, life, death, human agency, respiration, food, aesthetics, human person, purpose, and a connection to God are all tied to trees. The link between plants and animals isn't just an academic curiosity. It's an inescapable fact of life. Without humans, trees would manage just fine. Without trees, people would perish. Everything on the earth that moves uses energy that's stored in bonds between carbon atoms first formed in a green plant through the process of photosynthesis. You, me, earthworms, ants, bees, tigers, sloths, aphids, we all run on trees. And it's not just that we use plant energy or calories to power our brains and bodies. We need the oxygen from trees to burn this fuel. Indeed, the tree of life is aptly named on every level. Here's some follow-up actions and questions to consider. Read through the first two chapters of Genesis and underline everything that relates to trees, including fruit and seeds. Do any patterns or insights emerge when you look over these underlined passages? In what ways is the tree of life aptly named? As you grow through your day, I hope you'll stop and give thanks to God for all the beautiful and useful trees He created.